So the accruant case is an interesting case in that it deals with kind of a kind of bringing both the goodwill together with, you know, someone who is client-facing and has a lot of information on the development side. You've got a senior-level executive. That particular executive had access to a lot of client and customer information. You know, normally you'd say, well, you should probably restrict the geographic scope to where that individual is actually doing business, the customers that that individual had. And that was the challenge that was received. Like, you can't have this as largely a worldwide non-compete. I mean, it did include things like Antarctica, but it was fairly broad. You know, and the argument was, well, this individual wasn't working and didn't have relationships in all those jurisdictions, even though he was senior. The problem with that argument, or the rebuttal that they got, was, yeah, but this is a senior level, you know, I think it was a VP level, you know, sales executive who actually was involved and had sensitive information about the products and services being provided in all of these jurisdictions. So it's not just that you're protecting the goodwill and kind of limiting this to where this individual had and built relationships. This individual also had a tremendous amount of sensitive information about products in these other jurisdictions as well, and that was sufficient to be able to enforce the broader non-compete. And the court was then taking into consideration kind of the global nature of business today. And that's where we're starting to see things go, especially with respect to geographic scope as well, but and as well as kind of scope of activity that they're doing. When it comes to dealing with, you know, responding to breaches, the first thing that you're going to want to think about is, you know, proactively. You don't want to think about a lot of these particular elements at the time of breach. You want to think about putting in place, you know, careful, you know, information in your documents, well-drafted non-competes up front. You want to think about whether or not it actually is reasonable, taking into consideration the different reasonableness tests and the different pieces that you're going to need to consider. You want to think about their role, the development, where you're going into business. Thinking about it up front and drafting it carefully up front can help quite a bit when it comes to enforceability. Also, if you go a little bit crazy on the front end and draft something that's really obnoxious, again, you could be subject to attorney's fees and costs when you try to enforce it. There's also the element of damages as well. As mentioned, under the statute, you can get a non-compete reformed, but, you know, then you run the risk. In other words, it's a blue pencil state, right? So if you go a little too far in the non-compete, the court can, if instructed, reform the non-compete to the point where it is now, in the court's eyes, reasonable and enforceable. Part of the problem with the reformation piece is you're asking the court to figure out what's most appropriate in your line of business. You know that better, right? So it's better if you take that into consideration on the front end. But there is that kind of business-level decision of, okay, I don't have the time to draft a non-compete for every single individual employee, so I'm going to have to be a little bit more generic on the front end, take the risk with reformation if I've maybe gone too far, if the role changes, or if we change. That's fine, but at least you've taken that into consideration and carefully drafted it to be as narrow as you can while still giving you that protection. And if the court does reform it, you do have to deal with the fact that you will now have injunctive relief still available to you, but not backward-looking economic damages. For many employers, that's fine. The it's worth the risk to have a more comprehensive non-compete and go a little bit further, not too far, than to have an under protection. But, you know, on the other piece of trying to deal with prospective breaches is educating the employee as well. A lot of times they may not remember. They may have been working for you sometime. They may not remember they have a non-compete. Be upfront with them when they sign the non-compete to begin with. Make sure that you've chatted with them on exit interviews and reminding them of their obligations. Make sure that they understand what the limits are. That helps in case they had a plan to go do something. It might make them think twice about it. If there is a violation, right, or you think that there is, don't ignore it. I'm not saying you have to run in and immediately seek a TRO, but responsive. Pick up the phone. Call them. You know, send a cease and desist letter. Coordinate with counsel. But at least have a strategic plan to respond. Some may be more aggressive of a response than other, depending on exactly what's happening, okay? If you just think something's going on, you could send them a reminder of obligations letter. You know, if you know something's happening and it's bad, it's something that could have a serious impact, yes, then you definitely need to be thinking about a TRO. The point is, don't just sit around and ignore it or pretend like it's not there unless you truly don't care about the enforcement of your non-competes generally. You know, the next piece of that, too, is waivers and enforcement. Yeah, you know, I get a number of I'll see employers oftentimes say, well, I just don't know if I care about that. I just don't want to deal with it. That's fine. That's your choice. But if you have a pattern of just not really paying attention to the non-competes or not enforcing them or not even taking the time and effort to address what may be a breach, not only are you potentially calling some of your trade secrets in, on the misappropriation side into question, but on the non-compete itself, if you have a track record of not really enforcing them when they go to a competitor, you're not really paying attention to what they're doing, or you're just routinely waiving them in agreements and otherwise, if that's the approach you're taking, when you're in front of a judge arguing on a TRO that this should be enforced against the next employee, the problem is, how are you going to justify that you really care about that protectable interest when people are constantly going to competitors? You're not doing much about it. It doesn't really show that that interest is truly sought and seen as a protectable interest by the company.